It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state capitol in Madison is slated to erect a statue of Wisconsin civil rights trailblazer Vel Phillips in the near future. We dig deeper on American monuments and statues with an art historian who looks at them through the lens of art, place, history, identity, and power. Call in with your questions and comments about enshrining people on pedestals. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sierra Rooney is an assistant professor of art history at UW La Crosse. Sierra, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your research says 6% of public monuments throughout our country portray an actual woman in history, a woman with a name. Why are few women on pedestals?
Oh my goodness, isn't that a shocking number? I mean, it is so incredibly low.
Small.
Yeah. Well, it has to do with the history of who we have considered heroes. And for most of American history, that has been men. I mean, if you walk around basically any city or town in the country, there are public monuments, and it could leave the impression that American history is basically all men on horses. You know, one could really wonder whether there were any noteworthy women in history because so few were commemorated in public spaces. And part of that is because women just have not had an avenue to ascend that plinth. You know, we have commemorated presidents and military heroes and explorers, and women were not allowed to participate in those professions. So it's really until the 1980s that we begin to see a marked increase in public monuments to women. There were definitely a few before then, but very, very few and far between.
Was there like a golden age for statue building, I wonder, that is now maybe behind us as a society?
Absolutely. So that's considered the 19th century. That's where we see the most frenzy monument building. It's actually a period called monument mania.
okay.
So most of sort of historic monuments that we have, if you think of, you know, again, bronze equestrian monuments, men on horseback, it's probably from this period.
Is the gender gap for monuments changing over time as we have come out of that period and certainly now living in a very different time and era?
It is changing, albeit very, very slowly. And I should say the process of monument building, it is lugubrious. It takes a long time. It is not like painting on a canvas where somebody could do it alone in their studio. I mean, it involves a lot of people, a lot of stakeholders, community members, governmental officials, architects, landscape architects. So there are a lot of voices. It also costs a lot of money. So to put a monument in public space, as we're seeing with the Vel Phillips statue, it can take years, sometimes even decades. So that being said, that's why it has been taking so long to get more monuments to women, though there are a few really notable initiatives within the last few years in order to lower that gender gap. So a really good example of that, and perhaps the most expansive example of that, is an initiative called She Built NYC, which has received $10 million in city funds, which is pretty remarkable, to commission new public artworks honoring women that were important to New York City. So monuments are being planned for Shirley Chisholm, Billie Holiday, Sylvia Rivera, Marsha P. Johnson. And so those will go up in all five boroughs in New York. Another example that is San Francisco passed an ordinance in 2018 requiring that at least 30% of new public art projects depict real women. And then I think a really good example of this shifting or lowering the gender gap is the National Statuary Hall in the US Capitol, which I see as really a microcosm of these commemorative patterns nationwide. And in the last few years, they have seen a number of new women enter the hall. And how that happens is that each state in the union can donate two statues of notable residents. So representative figures that are considered, you know, very important for the time. So in the last couple of years, Florida, for example, donated a statue of Mary McLeod Bethune, and that actually replaced their statue of a Confederate leader. So definitely moving in the right direction, but it's going to take decades, maybe if ever, that we have real gender parity in monuments.
Something that you're underlying here, I think, too, is the economics of these monuments. I mean, in the past, if men put up the money for a statue and they owned the land for that statue and they had the people they know give the money, I mean, women were out of the picture. So why would the statue be of a woman?
Exactly. It's who had the power, both the political power, but also the economic, the capital to build monuments. And I should say that it's not as if women were entirely cut out of this process. A really good example of that is the United Daughters of the Confederacy. Mm. They were a pretty powerful group of women, an organization of women, and they are responsible for the majority of Confederate monuments that are throughout the United States. So they played a sometimes invisible role to us today, but they were incredibly successful for raising funds, but they just did so in order to erect Confederate monuments to primarily men.
I want to turn our attention back to the icon of Belle Phillips, and in 2021, state authorities approving plans to put up this monument for Belle Phillips, a civil rights leader. Here is her son, Mike Phillips, on WISC-TV discussing the idea of memorializing his mother on the Capitol grounds.
They look up and they see this statue of a person. Who is that? And, you know, they look and they read a little bit of the inscription, and then they Google her. And then they find out that this is a person who has fought for the rights of all Wisconsinites.
So, I mean, he's really seeing a process in his mind there of what a statue can spur people to do. And yet, you know, I think, as you mentioned, this is years in the making. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's such a good example of why monuments matter. They can't become invisible to us. I mean, we pass so many, but I think including women, people of color, who we do not historically see on these pedestals, it can spur us to look at this history, because monuments represent our values. We put up markers to concepts, events, people. I mean, we put them literally on and pedestals. And so when we build a monument, we are giving people of the future tangible, visible clues about what we value. We are saying that you need to pay attention to what this chunk of granite or metal means. They are built reminders of people that we deem worthy. And so in order to create monuments that are more representative or more reflective of the way or who we are today, we need to be inclusive of women, people of color, other represented groups. Because when we don't see people that look like us or tell our stories, it essentially tells people of today and in the future that we are not worthy of the same honor, or we do not belong in that same space. And that's just simply not representative of the vast and deep contributions that women and people of color have made to this country. So it is an incredibly meaningful process and an important process.
UW La Crosse art historian Sierra Rooney's scholarship, it focuses on public art and monuments and memorials and what they say about our communities and the perspectives they represent. Join in with your questions about the place for monuments and statues, how you see them reflected, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss the role of statues and monuments as a new one is set to be erected at the state capitol featuring civil rights pioneer Belle Phillips. Be part of the conversation as you reflect on what statues represent to you, how you think about monuments near and far, especially when they are toppled. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sierra Rooney is an assistant professor of art history at UW La Crosse. Let's go to the phones with Katie in Eau Claire. Katie, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi there. I'm really interested in hearing a little bit about how to differentiate maybe between commemorative memorials and our commemorative monuments and memorial monuments, and whether or not you've noticed if they're of those 6% of monuments that are women-centered, if they have more of a memorial or commemorative kind of effect, I guess.
Katie, thank you. Sierra?
Yeah, what a good question. I guess I want to clarify. I think you might be pointing to the difference between a monument and a memorial. And a monument, it's really just a difference in tone. So a monument is celebratory, and a memorial is more somber in tone, so commemoration. So we often think of like war memorials. Sometimes they are used interchangeably, those two terms, but I like to distinguish in that way. Monument is celebratory, heroic, memorial is somber and commemorative. So of the of women's representation in public art, they are more monument-based, more figure on a pedestal, but there are a few really beautiful memorials to women, and those are particularly war memorials. So I'm thinking of the Vietnam Women's Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C.
I wonder, Sierra, you know, why statues depicting women often don't have names, like Statue of Liberty or Lady Forward on top of our Capitol. Why are they symbols instead of named people? Why do some statues like use allegory, not an actual person?
That is such a good point to bring up when we were talking about representations of women in monuments, is that actually there are a lot of figures of women in our public art collections throughout the country, but they're represented as these allegorical figures. So by that, I mean represented these ideals or values, right? So Statue of Liberty is not actually a woman named Liberty. And that just has to do with the visual language of public monuments, that women's bodies were used to embody these larger ideals or values. Sometimes they were corollaries or sort of secondary figures to sort of male historic figures. So there'll be a statue of a general on a horseback, and there'll be a figure of a woman next to him that represents victory. So really, when we see women, especially from this monument mania period, she is more likely going to be an allegory as opposed to a real historic woman.
Let's look about placement of statues, eye level versus as we have to look up. The Boston Women's Memorial depicts three women at ground level, not on pedestals. What about the placement of these figures?
I think this is a equally important question to the number of women represented, is this idea of how they are represented. So we should be paying attention not only to the subject matter of monuments, but to the form and design. And when we think of a typical monument, we think of a large bronze or marble statue on a pedestal. And this is actually rooted in authoritarian history. So we go all the way back to ancient Rome, and statues served this imperialist agenda, as leaders would literally send portraits of themselves across colonies to express their authority and power. And this has really served as the model of monuments for thousands of years. This is really at odds with the more contemporary democratic ideas of public art, that public art should be one that is more participatory, more engaged with audience and communities. So part of what I want to encourage new monument builders to think about is to rethink not only who's being honored, but the ways in which they are being honored. So why don't we bring these figures down from pedestals? So maybe it shouldn't be a single statue that we look up to, but maybe something that we are engaged with, that we walk through. And you mentioned the Boston Women's Memorial, which is maybe my favorite monument. And here we have that interchangeable, right, monument and memorial. I would deem this a monument because it is quite celebratory of the three women. It's Abigail Adams, Phyllis Wheatley, and Lucy Stone. So already it's reimagining what a monument can look like because it's not an individual person, but a collective group. So it's implicitly telling us this idea that history is not made by individual heroes, but collective action over the course of decades. And these women are shown stepping down from their pedestals. So rather than being on top of them, it almost looks as if the pedestals have been toppled over and the women are using them in different ways.
Interesting.
So yes, Lucy Stone is sitting on top and like writing on the pedestal. So it's a really playful, I think quite witty reimagining of what a monument can look like. And viewers love it. You can walk through them. You can take pictures with them with your arms slung around them. So it allows a lot of interaction and more personalization with these historic women.
Sierra Rooney with us, assistant professor of art history at UW-La Crosse, as we look at the meaning of monuments. And just a note here, correction, I said that the forward statue was on top of the Capitol. It's actually named Wisconsin, she is, and the one at the end of State Street is forward. Let's go to Kay in Madison. Kay, hi.
Good morning, and thank you for this program. I am the definitive biographer of a woman you've probably never heard of, Anna Ella Carroll of Maryland, and she was a political and legal advisor to Lincoln and came up with a military plan in the West, the Tennessee River Campaign, that was executed. And she has been basically for 100 years been called a criminal, a fraud. The other side of that is one thing I learned from putting her in context was that, for instance, the anti-slavery movement may have been led in good part by male ministers, but women were the majority of the congregations.
Kay, thank you. We're short on time. Sierra, you know, really important to hear from biographers who have dug deeply into these people.
Absolutely. Historians are a necessary part of the reimagining of this monumental landscape. So great to hear her voice.
Sierra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was a wonderful conversation.
Sierra Rooney is an assistant professor of art history at UW-La Crosse. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.